This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Heather Trim, Executive Director of Zero Waste Washington, and Margaret Shield, owner and principal of Community Environmental Health Strategies and lead for Zero Waste Washington's medicine return effort. Heather and Margaret are here to tell us about the work of Zero Waste Washington and to discuss the benefits and status of medicine take-back programs in Washington State. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Why was Zero Waste Washington formed? What is your history?
We have a 35-year history, and the organization was initially founded by residents of Washington State who were working to get bottle bills passed here. Those failed. And when those failed, they started Zero Waste Washington, which had a different name back then, to work on recycling. And recycling back then was in the early days. So we didn't have curbside. We didn't have all the great things we have now. And so over the years, Washington State became one of the leaders in the nation on developing recycling, and that started the organization.
What do you mean by zero waste? What is your definition?
That is a great question. We do not mean incineration. And right now, you hear about other countries like Germany who have wonderful waste rates. Those are places where they use incineration. So here, we're talking about redesigning products so that as you go through the life of the product, at the end, it can be either easily recycled or reused. So it's a product design concept. It's a waste and resource preservation effort as well. So we really need to conserve our resources. So less consumerism, more ability to recycle at the end of the use of a product. And then finally, it's also about sort of returning things back to nature. So the idea of cradle to cradle. So when you start with a product, can you at the end of its life go back to the same type of product?
Would you like to say just a few more words about your key past accomplishments of
Sure.
Zero Waste Washington?
Yeah, so we've had quite a few very successful bills passed at the state level over our history. One of our big successes, and we were the first in the country, and it's really one of the strongest laws still on the books in the country, is having to do with e-waste. So people in Washington State can take their computers, their big screen monitors and that kind of thing, back to collection centers, and it's paid for by the industry to be safely recycled and reused, not be shipped over to other countries where they become big toxic messes and have very significant both environmental and human health implications. Another similar bill that we passed at the state level is about mercury light bulbs. So, you know, we don't have so many of those being sold now, but we've gone through a large phase where we moved from the traditional light bulbs into CFLs and other light bulbs that have mercury. And that is a very significant human health concern for the workers, like the people collecting garbage, if they break, all sorts of problems. So now you can also take those back to collection locations, often hardware stores, and they're safely recycled and taken care of, again, paid for by industry. And now we are working on medicine return. We've had very good success with four counties in the state, and now there's a bill at the state level on this.
Before we focus on the medicine take back, would you give an overview of all your current programs?
So we work at the state level and the local level on trying to get laws passed. We also do research and try to innovate piloting type things, and we work at the community level. So I'll give you an example of the community level. We are interested in trying to sort of change the paradigm about sharing and repair and reuse. So we have wonderful places like Goodwill where you can go and things will be reused. But there's a whole movement now to do sharing. So tool libraries, there are quite a few tool libraries in Seattle where people can borrow tools. They pay a small membership fee and they can then borrow the tools for all sorts of things. And we helped form a tool library in Tacoma. They did not previously have a tool library, and this is something that is great for people if you don't want to go buy a new tool, or if you are worried about how to use something. There are workshops and training on how to use tools. So it's a really cool concept, and I think a lot of other communities would love to have one as well.
Let's focus now on your medicine take-back efforts. Why do we need medicine take-back programs?
Well, this is really both a public safety measure and an environmental protection measure. So we do use medicines. They help keep us healthy. They treat disease. But these are a common source of poisonings in the home. Our medicine cabinets have become the new drug dealer in our communities. Pharmaceuticals really are very potent chemicals that in small doses greatly impact our bodies. And if we don't dispose of them properly, if we flush them or if we throw them in the trash, they end up out in our environment, in our waterways, and we're seeing the impacts of those on fish and aquatic systems, and they're even found in our beloved orca whales. So what we've come to realize with medicines is that they are chemicals that we need to manage very carefully in our homes, and we need to dispose of them safely. And the best way to do that right now is through medicine take-back programs. There aren't enough of them. That's why we're working on the state-level legislation.
How much medicine in the U.S. goes unused? How much of the medicine we buy ends up being thrown away?
You know, the estimates from putting together a bunch of different studies say it's probably about a third. Some folks estimate more like 40%, and that's of both prescription and over-the-counter medicines. So it's actually a challenging issue, not only with medicines, but with many products, to figure out exactly how much is left over. One survey done down in Los Angeles that called people and asked them about the prescription medicines they were currently using actually found that two-thirds of those medicines were not fully used. So there's a lot of reasons for this. I actually just got a medicine. My cat managed to bite me. I needed an antibiotic. Well, that antibiotic and I are not getting along well, and my doctor's switching me to a different one. And I now have about two-thirds of a vial of the original antibiotic that is left over. And so I'm going to make sure to take that to a take-back program rather than doing something else with it that wouldn't be a safe disposal method. You know, many of us use medicines that are only as needed, and they sometimes expire before we use all of them. Many of us, unfortunately, go through serious illnesses, and we know that you use a lot of medicines and then maybe don't have to use them all up. And then there is end-of-life care, where there's a tremendous amount of medicines that are used, and there are many folks working with us from the hospice and home care industry that are really concerned about how to dispose of those medicines. And finally, there are still problems. You know, as consumers, we go out and we probably buy too many cold and flu medicines, can't possibly use them all. There is some overprescribing going on out there among some doctors, and so there's efforts to reduce that. But the net result is, of the medicine take-back programs that exist, tons and tons of medicines come into these programs every year, even though they're not convenient enough and not yet in every community.
How widespread are pharmaceuticals in the environment? What do we know?
We know from sampling that has been done in streams and rivers and water bodies like Puget Sound that there's a wide variety of pharmaceuticals present in any waterway that's basically near our human civilizations or that's near a wastewater treatment plant. And this is something that researchers didn't look for until probably in the late 90s or so. And then when they started looking for these drugs, they started finding them everywhere. So some of the medicines get there through excretion from our bodies. Some of them get there through agricultural uses of medicines. And then with 30 to 40% of medicines going unused and many of us being told to flush them when we don't need them, they get there that way. They get there out of landfill leachate as well. When you put toxic chemicals into a landfill, they can be pumped out of the leachate and eventually go into the wastewater stream as well.
And this is Heather. In Washington State, the Department of Ecology has done sampling of salmon in Puget Sound. And they found that salmon had about 10 different pharmaceuticals that they found in them. This is two sampling locations, one in Bremerton and one in Tacoma. And they found four of those medicines that were at levels considered to be harmful for the salmon, and that included Prozac. So we have salmon on Prozac in Puget Sound.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Heather Trim, Executive Director of Zero Waste Washington, and Margaret Shield, Owner and Principal of Community Environmental Health Strategies, and lead for Zero Waste Washington's medicine return effort. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. What are the human health concerns of leftover medication?
There are many, and I would say that much of the interest in this medicine return legislation and the reason why four counties in Washington State and counties in California have taken action is the public health and safety concern. So we have a prescription drug abuse epidemic in our communities. Much of this is focused on painkillers, opioid drugs, which are really heroin in a pill. And unfortunately, experimentation with these drugs too often sends people down a path of addiction and eventual, perhaps even heroin use and overdose death. In our state, like so many states across the nation, this is a crisis that has gotten worse and worse. In the years that I have been working on this issue, we have gone from having to convince policymakers that there's a problem with prescription drugs to everyone being aware that this is really devastating our community. In Washington State, about 2 people die every day from a drug overdose, and over half of those drug overdoses are due to prescription medicines. And this is a concern that has to be addressed in many ways, but medicine take-back, getting those medicines safely out of people's homes to keep them from being misused, is a key part of the solution. Can also talk about the impact on kids and on seniors. There are so many unintended poisonings in our homes. When you let medicines linger around that you don't need, people often take them by mistake, kids get into them, and the Washington Poison Center has calls coming in every day from poisonings, often ending up with a kid going to the ER or being hospitalized or worse yet, dying from these exposures to medicines. We're trying to encourage everyone to lock up their medicine safely in the home and then understand that when you don't need them, get rid of them right away and get rid of them responsibly through a medicine take-back program.
Where in Washington State do medicine take-back programs currently exist and how are they set up?
There's been some form of medicine take-back happening in our state since about 2002, but it's been very uneven whether it exists in every community. In many parts of the state, the only option might be a collection event once or twice a year at your local police station. That's good, but that's not as convenient as an ongoing drop box. So some communities have a drop box at a police station or at a sheriff's office where they're taking in medicines. Zero Waste Washington has worked with these law enforcement groups for years. They're bringing in amazing amounts of medicines, but we all know not everyone wants to go to a police station, not always convenient to go to a police station. So the best types of programs are the ones where there's drop boxes at pharmacies and at hospitals and medical centers where we go more regularly. Those only exist in a very smaller number of locations, except now in King County, where there's a new law that's made the program much more accessible.
Would you say more about the King County program?
This was a community-based effort that took place over many years that resulted in the King County Board of Health passing a local regulation to protect public health and safety by requiring the manufacturers of medicines to provide and finance a convenient and secure take-back program. That program just launched fully in January of 2017. And before the program, there were really limited number of places in King County to take drugs back. None in Seattle. There were only a few smaller police stations that had drop boxes. Now, there are more than 87 secure drop boxes all around the county. They are at drugstores, at group health medical centers, at the UW Medical Center, at hospitals. They're also at police stations, and especially in some smaller towns, that's the place to take them. This is all coordinated and financed by the manufacturers of medicines. People can take any drug in their medicine cabinet and take it in at no charge and drop it off, and you're going to know that it's handled securely. And it's sent to the most environmentally protective type of disposal to keep it out of our waterways.
Also, ordinances were just passed last year in Kitsap County, Pierce, and Snohomish County. Those will all go into effect this year. So with King County, that will be 58% of the population of Washington State that will have access to pharmaceutical industry paid for return boxes that they can conveniently go to. The challenge we have, though, is that statewide, where we have these voluntary efforts that are being done by sheriff's offices and other places, they can't afford to keep doing that. And we really want to have access to this program for the entire state. So it's not just this one sort of core area right around the greater Seattle area.
How much do the programs cost drug manufacturers, or how much does it cost, for example, in King County for the manufacturers?
Well, the program has just gotten started, so we haven't had a formal financial report from them. But the reports we're hearing from the manufacturers is that it's costing about $2 million a year to provide that program. They're paying for collection, transportation, and disposal of the medicines. They're also paying for program promotion and for coordinating all those collection sites. So $2 million is a good example of why this is not a trivial amount of money for a sheriff or a public health agency to come up with. But let's compare that to the amount of medicine sold to King County residents every year, which is about $1.8 billion a year. That's probably an underestimate, in fact. So we're really talking about the cost of medicine take-back being 0.1% of the amount of medicine sold into the county, a fraction of a penny on the dollar. And this is part of why linking the cost of the take-back program to the product sales is the way to create sustainable financing.
What kind of regulations have to be met in order for the drop-off programs to be put into place?
Well, that's a great question because pharmaceuticals are one of the most heavily regulated products that we have out there, especially those medicines that are called controlled substances. So a group that we've all heard of called the DEA has authority to regulate the distribution and the take-back of medicines that are narcotics or stimulants or controlled substances that people can get addicted to. So this type of take-back program is meeting all the requirements of a DEA regulation that lays out the security that must be used for medicine take-back at pharmacies, hospitals, police stations, and these other collection sites. The program also meets all other state and federal regulations. So we don't always think of these drugs in our medicine cabinets as hazardous waste when we don't need them, but really that's what they are. So the program also meets all the other requirements of shipping and disposing of these chemicals that are hazardous waste.
And it's important to also know that people can take back not only their prescription drugs, but their over-the-counter drugs as well. So this program is comprehensive because that was actually a little bit confusing in some of the early days.
How are the medicines disposed of once they've been returned or dropped off?
Right now, the standard for disposal, both to ensure the drugs are fully destroyed chemically and also the most environmentally protective right now, is high-temperature incineration. One of the things that Zero Waste Washington and our coalition of groups has really pushed for is we want to be sure that these medicines go to properly permitted disposal facilities. The program in King County is using the facilities recommended by the EPA. This is a big improvement over some of the law enforcement programs that, frankly, because of costs, have been using lesser incinerators. Now, we also know that at some point in the future, we hope there will be an even better method of destroying these chemicals, perhaps chemical digestion or something else. So the local laws that we've mentioned at the county level all have a provision that says when a better environmental technology is available, the programs can shift to using that. And the state bill has similar language. Right now, though, we believe this is really critical harm reduction and environmental protection because we know that flushing these medicines or sending them into the trash ends up with them being released into the environment. So this is the most environmentally protective method we have available right now, and then we're moving to something even better.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Heather Trim, Executive Director of Zero Waste Washington, and Margaret Shield, Owner and Principal of Community Environmental Health Strategies and Lead for Zero Waste Washington's Medicine Return Effort. Let's focus now on the bill currently before the Washington State Legislature. Tell us about the bill. What does it propose specifically?
Well, the bill would set up a convenient and secure drug take-back system for the entire state. There would be service in every city and town and service in unincorporated rural areas. The bill requires a system of secure drop boxes as the easiest and most convenient method. And then as backups, if there are areas that can't have drop boxes, there would be collection events. And then return mailers would also be available on request, which is really great for a senior who maybe can't get out as much or someone that is homebound or disabled. The program would accept prescription and over-the-counter medicines. There would be education and promotion, and those medicines would have to go to those proper disposal facilities. So how would that all be financed? We know these medicine take-back programs work, but the challenge has been having the resources to keep them running, promote them, and to handle the huge amount of medicines coming in. Well, the bill proposes, just like the King County law that's already working, that pharmaceutical manufacturers finance this program. The bill allows those manufacturers to work together to hire a contract organization, which is what they've done in King County to run the program. They manage their own money. They design the system, and they can make it as efficient as possible to provide the service. Now, to counterbalance that, they have to meet all the requirements of the law. So one of the things that Zero Waste Washington has done so well in working on these issues is putting these strong performance standards into the bill. So we know that the program will be convenient, it will be run securely, the medicines will be handled properly, and there will be some evaluation of the program to check that consumers are aware of it and that they're finding it easy to use.
What is the current status of the bill?
Well, the bill is number 1047. It's House Bill 1047, sponsored by Representative Strom Peterson. It has cleared two hurdles in the House. It has moved through two committees, and it is now in what's called the Rules Committee, waiting to be pulled out for a floor vote. And the state legislature works on a very rigid clock. So we have a deadline now that this bill must receive a successful floor vote in the House by Wednesday, March 8th. We have tremendous support for this bill, but it is probably no surprise to KEXP listeners that the pharmaceutical industry is very powerful. They are the only groups opposed to this bill, and they are fighting it quite hard. And so this bill needs the help of all of your listeners and all of the organizations supporting it to get to that successful vote.
Would you say more about who is supporting the bill?
Well, this has been an amazing issue to work on because of all the different groups that are interested in it. We, of course, have support of the environmental community, but some of the first groups to start working on this issue were coming from the public health side, the Washington Poison Center. We have support of all the substance abuse prevention groups who are working on the opioid epidemic. Support from the Washington State Nurses Association, Medical Association, Dentists Association, the Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, the Community Health Networks, local governments who have been working on this issue for years. Now, this year, too, with the success of the program in King County and with the great policy in this bill, we have support from the Washington State Pharmacy Association and from the Northwest Grocers Association and from the State Hospital Association. These are all the groups that want to contribute to the effort by hosting the secure drop boxes. Then we have support from the sheriffs and police chiefs. And I tell you, one of the joys of working on this issue is sitting in a room full of law enforcement, public health, and environmental groups and finding out that we all share so much common ground and want to make this happen. The only groups opposing it at this point are the big pharma trade associations, the big individual pharmaceutical companies. Frankly, they just don't want to pay for it. And they're throwing out a lot of arguments against the bill that we have answers to, but it's all about political power at this point.
And if I could add, it's so heartwarming to be in the hearings for the bill and hear sheriffs talk about how they personally took on this issue. It is, taking back medicine is not part of your normal job if you're in the law enforcement realm. They personally have taken on the issue of putting a box at their station because they are so concerned about the opioid epidemic and the heroin and all the other problems that are going on right now.
How should you dispose of medications if there isn't a take-back program where you live?
Well, the good news is there are some more take-back programs now, and in many states, there's at least a twice-a-year collection event. So one option is to store those medicines really securely and then clean them out in those twice-a-year collection events. If there is no other take-back option near you and you really need to dispose of the drugs right away, then we have to give this advice that we all know is not very good, which is hiding the medicines in your trash for trash disposal. And that is what we are trying to move away from. And frankly, the pharmaceutical industry is saying that that's good enough. They have some fairly complicated advice that we should all be putting pills in Ziploc bags and dissolving them in water and then adding kitty litter and then hiding them in our trash. And I think if you think that through, it shows that can't possibly be the best disposal method. And really, who would be willing to do that? So the good news is that residents of Seattle and King County, there is probably a convenient drop box right near you in your neighborhood. So please go to a website called KingCountySecureMedicineReturn.org, and you can find that drop box. For outlying areas, please look for that drop box. And then what we want to try to avoid giving in the future is that last resort advice of tossing medicines in the trash.
Where outside of Washington State have pharmaceutical take-back programs been enacted, and what is the status of them at this point in time?
With the growing awareness of the medicine abuse problem and the problems with medicines in our environment, these take-back programs have caught on across the country, but I would say it's very much piecemeal. This is an example of a big problem that's being left to the local level to sort out. There's been inaction at the national level, mostly inaction at the state levels. But we're seeing progress. In fact, last year in Massachusetts and in Vermont, bills were passed that set up some type of medicine take-back program paid for by manufacturers. Not as comprehensive, and I would say not as well-crafted legislation as what we're trying to pass in Washington State, but on the right track of saying, if you're the manufacturer of this medicine, you should be working this into your business cost and paying for it. Now, the great law that is our model in King County, Washington, there are very similar laws in 8 counties in California. And there's been a lot of collaboration going back and forth at the local level with those of us working on this. King County's law was the second in the nation. The first was Alameda County, California. And then since then, many other counties have passed these laws in California and the 3 more in Washington. And I'm glad to say they're really all modeled on the King County legislation. You know, I also want to add that while medicine take-back programs are relatively new to the U.S., they have existed in other countries for many, many years, and in many cases paid for by the drug companies. So there are medicine take-back programs across Canada in every province now that are paid for by manufacturers. There is a system that is in most parts of Mexico and is spreading across Mexico. France was one of the first in the European Union to have a medicine take-back program paid for by manufacturers. And statistics from that program are that almost 80% of the population is aware of the program. And of those 80%, almost all of them are using it to take back their leftover medicines. So this is a concept that works, and we're bringing it to the U.S. and making it work here.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I'd like to say that all of the efforts that we've been making over the years to recycle things, rather than just throwing things in the trash, these efforts are really paying off. And in cities like Seattle, it really is part of our culture now that we recycle, we reuse, we think about what we're doing with these materials. Now what we're moving to is having to deal with these really specialized products that are especially difficult to deal with. All the electronics we use, the medicines we use, the light bulbs we use, bulky products like carpet and mattresses. So I guess my message is what we've done has paid off, and now what we need to do is move it to the next level to continue to improve our system for convenient and environmentally sound disposal of all these different products that we use every day.
And I would say Washington State has been a leader in the country, and I think we will continue to be a leader on all of these topics. The future for us is going to be these things like paint. Right now, we can't take paint back and get it paid for by the manufacturers. Batteries, as Margaret mentioned, mattresses. There are quite a few what are considered difficult to handle items that are expensive for municipalities to pay for, and really we need to get them out of the system. And the reason that we need to do all of this is because we're trying to reduce greenhouse gases and help mitigate and prevent future climate change implications. We want to conserve our resources and want to be good stewards of our environment.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You are just listening to Heather Trim, Executive Director of Zero Waste Washington, and Margaret Shield, Owner and Principal of Community Environmental Health Strategies, and lead for Zero Waste Washington's medicine return effort. For more information, check on the web at zerowastewashington.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and on kexp.org.